The readings of this Ember Friday of Lent are very beautiful. We have again, as we have seen throughout this week, the prophet Saint Ezekiel. And Ezekiel touches on things that are very pertinent even today. And so the Lord God says, you need to stop sinning. All the things that are wrong with you are because of your sins. In the meantime, we have the gospel in which the lame man or paralyzed man, it was one or the other, was laying on his litter by the pool of Bethsaida, which of course is very curious to us that whenever the water moved, that meant an angel had descended there, and the first one to get into the water was cured. And of course, in this day and age, that this sort of smacks of superstition, but it isn't. It is the way it is. And the things that God does are not to be questioned. And so this man comes, and he asks Jesus to save him, and Jesus immediately heals him. And of course, it was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees and scribes immediately say, it is not licit for you to carry your litter, because our Lord told him, walk and take your litter and go. And go to the temple. Go give thanks to God. And so they accused him. And he said, the man who healed me said, take up your litter and walk. And so I have done. He did not even have to get into the water. And so we see here another miracle. And we see the fact that our faith is not a faith of superstition. It is a faith of morality. The morality that we need to have in order to be as well as possible. Now, not all the time is there a sickness, a result of some evil that we have done. And St. Ezekiel also mentions, each person stands on his own. The son shall not be punished because of the sin of the father. And of course, this was the common opinion in those days. Each one, the father's sins shall come down upon him. The son's sins shall come down upon him, and so forth. And so we have these things that we need to meditate upon. In the meantime, today is a very special day. It is a feast of one of the great saints of modern times, who was canonized, I believe, in 1927 by Pope Pius XI, St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows. St. Gabriel was the 11th child of this family. Now, by the time he was four, three or four of his siblings had died, and his mother died when he was four. And the older sisters looked after him, as well as the father, who was first governor of Assisi, where he was baptized in the same font as St. Francis of Assisi. In fact, his name, his baptismal name, was Francesco, Francis. Then the father went to another city, southern part of Umbria, and he was made governor there. And St. Gabriel was very, very popular. He was very jovial and nice. He was also, he would probably say later, very vain. He had to have the best clothes and shoes, and his haircut was perfect. Everything was perfect. And, of course, everybody liked him. The guys, because guys usually like guys for different reasons. The girls, because, oh, they wished that maybe someday his father would ask her father to her hand in marriage. But this was not to happen. When he graduated from the Jesuit school, St. Gabriel responded to the call of God. He had been very, very ill and close to death. And in the meantime, the Blessed Mother, a very similar story to St. Therese of Lisieux. The Blessed Mother in his room came to life and told him, my son wants you to be a religious. And then she went back to being a statue. Later on, there was a procession of the Blessed Mother in the town, and he had yet not done anything about it. He was still going to dances and plays and so forth. Nothing immoral, but nevertheless, not something that a religious was wont to visit. And the Blessed Mother, which was being carried on a litter by the men of the town, stopped the procession. They could not move. And she turned to him and said, "Why are you waiting so long? My son wants you. Now get it done now." You know, don't mess around with the Blessed Mother. She is indeed a mother. And so very soon after that, Saint Francesco went back home. And everybody thought, because he went to a Jesuit high school, that he was going to enter the Jesuit order. But no, he was walking along after this experience, and he ran into a church where there was a mission going on. And there was a Passionist priest of the Congregation of the Passion, founded by St. Paul of the Cross. And he was very enthused at what he heard. What a beautiful sermon. What beautiful teaching. And so he waited, and after the mission was over, Francesco visited with the priest. And he went home and packed his bags and went with the priest to the novitiate on the highest mountain in the middle of Italy, Isola de Gran Sasso. And there he entered the Passionist order and became a seminarian, a novice, and eventually made his vows. And when he was a deacon, just about 24 years old, he contracted tuberculosis with a great saint maker of the 19th century. And on this day, in 1862, at the age of 24, he died. And soon after, he was recognized already for his great sanctity. The bells are ringing. Somebody must like this sermon. But anyway, St. Gabriel, as I said, he was beatified and then canonized by Pope Pius XI in the year 1927. And he is one of the patron saints. He was made patron saint of the youth, along with St. Aloysius de Gonzaga. And he's also, when I was in the seminary, a teenager, maybe about Joseph's age or so, I had not yet been able to be confirmed because we moved and the bishops seemed to always get sick right before confirmation. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, so I prepared and I was allowed to be confirmed in my parish church in Miami, St. Brendan. And there, the retired bishop of Ponce in Puerto Rico, was a very holy redemptorist priest, confirmed me. And I chose the name Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows. So today is also my feast day. Since it was of my choosing, not my mother's, it is my most important feast day and the one that I love and celebrate the most. So pray for me as I pray this holy sacrifice of the Mass in honor of St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows. In nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.